All right, everybody, welcome back to the Crypto 101 podcast presented by Gemini, your bridge to the future of money. It is a special edition of the Rundown. We've got Brian, we've got Joe. It's Friday. It's a Momentum Moneymakers edition, and we couldn't be more excited to have you guys here. A lot going on this week. We're going to cover the Fed. We're going to cover some macro news. You know, we're going to give you that kind of bullish side of the fundamentals that we're always seeing. But the Momentum Moneymaker boys are here. And again, do they ever not come with winners, guys? These guys were giving out winners over the last couple weeks inside the community. We're talking 2-3Xs. We're going to cover those. There's some awesome news around ICOs, prediction markets, diving into the fun stuff. The memes are still alive. Whatever people are telling you, if they're telling you they're not, they're lying, because Brian and Joe are having winners. So again, macro news. Then we're going to dive into the fun stuff as well on this Friday afternoon. Fellas, welcome back. Brian, how are you?
Yeah, man, I'm great, dude. Happy to be here on a Friday. You know, one of my favorite things to do at the gig are these rundowns, and it's even better when we have a Friday rundown.
Yeah, it is always better, especially when the sun's out. I'm looking outside, looking at the sun. Maybe a dolphin will swim by. Who knows? Joe, how are you, my friend?
Wait, a dolphin will swim by? You have a nice view. I'm like looking at, you know.
We were live. I forget who I was with. One day a dolphin.
It was me.
It was you. Yeah, right? Yeah. The dolphin jumped out of the water. I was like, dude, this is the dream. I'm podcasting and there's dolphins.
You got derailed for like 3 minutes and we started talking about dolphins.
Yeah. I got much different views here in Oakland. But yeah, it's felt like a while. I miss you guys. So.
Yeah. It has been a while since all three of us are together. But that's why you listen to the Crypto 101 podcast. Good vibes, fun. And hey, if you study hard enough and, you know, get... Obviously, it's not personal financial advice, but maybe you too can podcast with dolphins out your window one day by getting the winners that Brian and Joe are giving everybody. Let's just kick it off. We'll bring up CoinMarketCap. Let's see what's going on here. The Fear Greed Index is trickling up, trying to kiss 30, right at 29 there. A little bit of just kind of choppy price action this week. We're going to cover the Fed decision in a minute. But is there anything that jumps out off of the pricing? Let's just say, you don't have to say today, fellas, but anything over the last like week or so that's jumped out to you that's been interesting?
If there was a mention market for how many times I've said the word choppy over the last 60 days, I'm probably over 100 for sure. I feel like every time I'm doing a newsletter or on the rundown or doing a market update, I'm just talking that we're going to chop for a while. We're going to chop. This is choppy. And I'm going to probably say choppy over under 25 times today, because we're going to continue to chop, in my opinion. I do believe once we kind of gain some footing in the market, probably get over that 94-95 mark, we could get off to the races. But we're going to chop for a while. I think we will be in the 80s a little bit. I think we'll be in the low 90s. There are a lot of bullish reasons to think that we get out of this range sooner rather than later. I'm personally trying to just manage my own expectations that, you know, we got some holidays here. I was hoping for a Santa's rally. Could still happen, but it doesn't matter at the end of the day, because there's so many bullish things we're going to talk about it that we will push over to all-time highs in 2026. I'm very convinced of that. But we're going to chop for a while, and that's exactly what the market's showing. That's what these numbers are showing.
Yeah, we overall had a great year, even though it doesn't feel like it. So there was a lot of profit taking, a lot of people doing tax loss harvesting. I know I got to do that. So approaching end of year doesn't look the best, but we had a pretty good year. And like Brian said, I'm super excited. Everyone's calling, as of this week at least, everyone's calling for a super cycle in 2026. It just came out of nowhere.
Yeah, we're going to cover that. And a lot of our guests have kind of talked about that. I'm referring to Matt Hogan. If you haven't listened to Matt Hogan, go back, listen to it. Cosmo Jang, Pantera Capital, go back and listen to it. It's kind of been this growing theme of the super cycle. The four-year cycle's over. It's a super cycle. It's an elongated cycle. I gathered some more, obviously, friend of the show, Tom Lee, and we got Kathy Wood. We got some sound bites kind of referring to that. So we'll cover that, but we'll skip out the price action. Not too much to cover. I'm always got my eye on the fear greed. I know we were touched in extreme fear not that long ago, right there. And then I remember on the show I said you could bet your bottom dollar we're gonna get back up into the 20s. Here we are kissing 30. But the Fed, guys, the Fed cut 25 bips. Not a surprise. We covered it here, you know, talking about the prediction markets. It was 95%, I think, going into the decision that it was going to be 25 bips. That's what it was. But there was a tidbit, guys. There was a tidbit that was quite more interesting than the cut itself. The Federal Reserve is going to buy $40 billion worth of Treasury bills. And if you're somebody that's like, well, what is that and why is that important? And that's kind of at least what I took away. So we're going to pull up this tweet from another friend of the show, Kyle Chassé, who we've had on the program not too recently ago. He came on and did an episode with Brendan and Bryce. He kind of spelled it out really good. And this is what a lot of the talking heads were saying. Like, okay, the 25 bips, everybody knew that was coming, but it was kind of buried a little bit where the Fed's going to buy back treasury bills. And so some people were saying like, oh, well, is this quantitative easing? Some people called it soft quantitative easing. As somebody myself who really enjoys cracking open a nice crispy diet soda, could we call it diet QE? It's something that just basically shows that the Fed is a government entity that is putting liquidity into the market by buying these T-bills. And kind of, again, what we're going to talk about after this and show you some clips of is like, okay, if this is an elongated business cycle and, you know, the economy's healthy and the Fed's putting liquidity into the market, like that's the stew that risk assets fly on. So again, it's not a huge dollar amount per se. But it is happening, and it's happening while kind of the dot plot refers to all the Fed governors. We're kind of all over the map and disagreeing, and it's like, okay, well, while they're disagreeing of where and what to do, they're putting liquidity into the markets. Very interesting. Open discussion here. Brian, you first. Any thoughts around this topic, just kind of as a whole?
Yeah, it's definitely interesting. It's not the traditional stimulus that we're used to. The Fed says purchases are meant to manage liquidity and keep markets functioning, not to really ignite a new rally. But on the other side, the bullish side of things, just like you alluded to, it increases liquidity in the financial system. What happens when we increase liquidity in the financial system? Usually, risk on assets like stocks, like crypto, perform well. Historically, they're correlated. Whenever we increase liquidity, these assets continue to perform well. So I do lean a little bit more bullish. I'm a perm bull, so you know I try to get all the bullish parts out of it. But I'm a perm bull. I do lean this is increases liquidity. This is gonna bring on more risk on assets, but it's not a traditional stimulus by any means either.
All right, Crypt Nation fam, let's pause for 1 second and talk about an important issue going on right now, and that's SIM swap attacks. SIM swap attacks are becoming a serious threat, especially in crypto. If someone gets control of your phone number, they can access your bank accounts, your exchanges, emails, and even your private messages. That's why the Crypto 101 podcast has partnered with Afani. It's America's most secure mobile service, offering a guaranteed protection against SIM swaps with added privacy. Since launching, not one single Afani user has ever been SIM swapped. And for some reason, if it ever does happen, you're backed by up to $5 million in insurance against financial losses. This is literally why we chose to partner with them. It is our favorite thing about Afani is the insurance policy of up to $5 million if it does happen to you. Afani runs on either AT&T or the Verizon network, and you get to choose which one. There are no contracts, and it is super easy and seamless to sign up. You also get a 60-day money-back guarantee, so there's zero risk in trying it out. Right now, for our listeners, you get $99 off when you sign up at afani.com/crypto101. That's afani.com/crypto101, or check the show notes below for a link. These days, your phone number is probably more valuable than your social security number, so make sure it's protected with Afani.
Hey, speaking of which, if you want to see how a top pro makes winning altcoin and crypto trades, Brendan Veman is doing a live over-the-shoulder trading session this week. All right, he's going to reveal both the coins that he's watching closely right now, and he's going to walk us through his trade ideas. Ones that investors could potentially execute on right away. It's like getting what I would call a masterclass in real-time trading for absolutely free. Plus, you're going to walk away with some altcoin picks that might be poised for their next big moves. So here's what all you got to do. Head to www.cryptorevolution.com/masterclass to save your spot now.
Did you know your calendar age doesn't always match how old your body actually is? I found that out firsthand when I took the True Age test from True Diagnostic, and it completely changed the way I think about my health. With just a simple at-home test, you can find out your true biological age with no doctor visits or labs. Just a quick, painless finger prick. You mail in your sample using a prepaid package, and in 2 to 3 weeks, you will get a detailed online report about your aging and health. The test breaks down how fast 11 key systems like your heart, brain, liver, and lungs are aging, plus 75 longevity biomarkers covering things like metabolic health, immune response, and disease risk. Your biological age, how old your cells and organs really are, is actually the number one predictor of your risk for serious diseases like heart disease, cancer, and dementia. That's why knowing it can be life-changing, and that's exactly what True Age helps you do. They made it so easy to get my blood drawn, show me my results, and give me the data so I could make the perfect action plan for me to better my health. If you're serious about longevity or just curious about what your body's real age is, head to TrueDiagnostic.com and use my code Crypto101 for 20% off your entire order or subscription. That's TrueDiagnostic.com, code Crypto101 for 20% off. Your future self will thank you. Cold mornings, holiday plans. This is when I need my wardrobe to just work. That's why I'm all about Quince. They make it easy to look sharp, feel good, and find gifts that last. From Mongolian cashmere sweaters to Italian wool coats, Quince pieces are crafted from premium materials and built to hold up without the luxury markup. Quince makes the essentials every guy needs, Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, Italian wool coats that look and feel designer, and denim and chinos that fit just right. Their outerwear lineup is no joke, guys. You have to go check it out. Each piece is made from premium materials by trusted factories that meet rigorous standards for craftsmanship and ethical production. By cutting out the middleman and traditional markup, Quince delivers the same quality as luxury brands at a fraction of the price. It's everything you actually want to wear. Built to hold up season after season. Guys, the down jacket I picked up from Quince is getting me through the cold winter when I go up north to visit my family. I also got an awesome vest that I like to wear down here in Florida when the weather gets colder as well. It looks super expensive and designer, but again, it's a fraction of the price. Guys, get your wardrobe sorted and your gift list handled this holiday season with Quince. Don't wait. Go to Quince.com/crypto101 for free shipping on your orders and 365-day returns. Now available in Canada too. That's Quince, Quince.com/crypto101. You'll get free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/crypto101. You'll be glad you did.
With the state of today's economy, it's more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As a season shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made from the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back in your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality, made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
Nothing to add there. You guys nailed it.
Yeah, it's something to keep monitoring. Again, once, if it really goes downhill and they start pumping liquidity in the market, a lot of times that might actually not even be good. It means they're fearing that something's broken. The most interesting thing, and we didn't get to do our live show, Brian. We've done that, I think, the last two Fed meetings. We had the summit this week, so just a lot of
probably
stuff
for the
going
best.
On. Probably for the best. Probably for the best. We might have lost on our prediction markets for what he was going to say. But we have a lot of fun doing those. So we'll try to bring him back when we can. We just had a busy week this week. But I think the number one thing was people were like, oh, he's going to be hawkish. I thought he was pretty straight down the middle. And the biggest kind of quote from it was, hey, we're trying to balance both mandates here. You know, full employment and, you know, in inflation, engaging inflation. He's like, those are our two main things are kind of fighting against each other right now. It's an awkward place to be. We're just trying our best to follow the data. So an uneventful, I guess, other than the diet QE, if you will, kind of an uneventful Fed meeting as expected. does it lay the tracks for a Santa Claus rally? Some people say yes, some people say no. We'll have to wait and see. But it is kind of just leads us kind of what we said is this elongated business cycle. And if that's going to happen along with liquidity and lowering interest rates, it's like it is kind of the perfect cocktail of all that. So we have two clips here. The first one we'll play is Tom Lee. Again, just kind of saying how crypto prices are tied close to the ISM, kind of just comparing it again to the business cycle. So let's hear a friend of the show, Tom.
Like 2026 is a year like there's a new Fed, right? But a dovish tilt. And at a time when the ISM's been below 50 for a record more than 3 years. So that's really good for small caps. And as Barry says, if they deregulate banking, and we were talking about this offline, that's really good for small caps. But that's also really good for the business cycle. And we've talked about this in some of our past research. Crypto prices are really sensitive to the ISM. So the ISM moving back above 50 has historically been associated with actually super cycle moves in Bitcoin and Ethereum.
Wait, ISM going into expansion territory is positive for Bitcoin? And
correct.
For all, interesting.
Yeah, and so if you look at ISM and Bitcoin, and you detrend Bitcoin, essentially look at its distance from the 200-day, it's almost perfectly correlated to the ISM.
Surprising.
And same thing with copper to gold prices. So copper's an industrial metal versus gold is money.
Right, but all of that tells you that it's basically just risk on, that they're all behaving like an economy. And is that, am I overcharacterizing
it?
Yeah, I think that's right.
I think Bitcoin's a bit of a chameleon because there'll probably be a time when it acts like gold, but right now it acts a lot more like it's sensitive to monetary policy and the business cycle, and both are about to turn up. So that would mean anybody who thinks the Bitcoin four-year cycle means crypto prices are down next year. We're betting against that thinking that new highs come early, January.
Fascinating stuff from Tom Lee. Again, similar sentiment to, again, extending the business cycle. The four-year crypto Bitcoin cycle is dead. Kathy Wood. We haven't heard from Kathy in a while. Let's check out what she has to say, and then we'll discuss.
Bitcoin is behaving more like a risk-on asset. It has played the risk-off role at different times during the European sovereign debt crisis, during our regional bank crisis. But right now, it's risk-on. It is climbing another wall of worry, and that is the four-year cycle. We think the four-year cycle is going to be disrupted. And what I mean by that is Bitcoin regularly dropped 75 to 90% in its early days. The volatility is going down. It's down about 30 some odd percent. And I think there's a fear of the four-year cycle. We think that the move by institutions into this new asset class is going to prevent much more of a decline. We may have seen the low a couple of weeks ago.
So again, I think it's important to kind of share the narratives from the talking heads that, you know, are thought leaders in the space, and they obviously have a bias. I think we can all recognize that. But these are the as a producer of the pod, when you're bringing on the Matt Hogans and the Cosmo Jangs, you know, you see these guys on CNBC alongside Kathy Wood and Tom Lee. It's like when they start all kind of independently saying similar things, it's like creating this new narrative that, in my opinion, us being so close, like boots on the ground, like we are, we're kind of like, okay, here's the narrative that's coming. Like, I think we're early on getting these narratives. You guys, as momentum moneymakers in the trenches, are the earliest on some of those, you know, quick trades that you're doing, right? But on a macro scale, I feel like us as Crypto 101, we're really following these narratives. And this is the narrative that's being kind of been built, I think, in the last like 4 to 6 weeks during this turmoil. And I think it's going to spread. So again, whether it comes true or fruition, again, we always say nobody has a crystal ball. But I think it is really interesting that everybody's kind of in their own way coming to this similar narrative.
We've been calling about this end of the four-year cycle for a long time now, for a lot of good reason. You know, just the institutional money flowing in. This definitely feels like a different situation than what we've seen in the past. So personally, I do believe I'm on the same page as what Kathy Wood's saying, that this was probably, we're not going to see a 4-year cycle, that typical, you know, 70-90% drawdown. The volatility is going to close on the majors. It's going to give you a tighter range. There's just too much traditional money flowing into these assets now. It's not the degens that, you know, are aping in every 4 years and out. There's just a lot of institutional monies, a lot of just smart money flowing in. So it's going to tighten the gap. And I think the 4-year cycle is on its way out personally.
I hope so. You just brought me back to some dark days where I didn't open my wallet for 2.5 years, from 2017 to like 2020. But that's why this cycle or whatever, you're right, for the 4-year cycle to be this tamed, in my opinion, is great news, right? With all the administration this year, bullish news from administration and the institutions coming in. So this move down of 30-40%, like Kathy is saying, you know, we're used to seeing wilder swings. So this is very mild. But I'm excited for this new time, more personally, because I've been through multiple cycles. And even during the dark days, which we, me and Brian's lived through and everyone's lived through, there's a ton of opportunity, and that's what we excel at. So macro-wise, there's always going to be looking, in my opinion, bullish. That's why I'm a perma bull. But there's always wins. You can just watch where the money goes. I wouldn't say on a macro level, in the streets on where we are, there's movements of where everyone is kind of hedging their bets, right, when the macro goes this way. And that's kind of where we, you know, make our living. So that's exciting to see that we're hitting a lot of those this cycle around.
Yeah, there's always opportunity. And I think, again, from the macro market level, there's always something new. And the institutions are here, and we've covered all these different ETFs and products that are now tradable on all these different platforms. And it's like, you know, sometimes there's still a lot of leverage, obviously, in crypto. So like that gets flushed out, and there's all these different products and all this different leverage. So it's like it is changing. Again, Brian said it best, is like, hey, the volatility will dampen down over the course of what we saw in history of the past. But it's there's always something new, and there's always some curveball that you got to try and digest and again, plan your trades and trade your plan. But that does, the bulls are here, and I don't know if Brian knows this guy personally, a self-proclaimed permabull, but somebody's opening up $500 million in longs.
Our guy who wrecked the market on October the 10th, I believe. Yeah, that's him. He basically shorted the heck out of everything on October the 10th, and is he was the guy. He made a killing. But super interesting that now he's long. And what's he know that we don't know? I'm not sure. You know, we can't copy trade a guy like this, especially when, you know, he's got billions of dollars and throwing it around. But I found this extremely interesting. I threw it on our sheet because this was, if everyone remembers, on October the 10th, that was that massive liquidation. Leverage got wiped out. This wallet in particular was absolutely shorting Bitcoin like a madman.
Bearing Trump.
We all kind of laughed at it at the time because that we were still really had our bull hats on at the time, but he nailed it. And now seeing him send what, 600 million, and now he has another fresh 500. These numbers are like unbelievable. But he's longing Bitcoin, Ethereum, and Solana. It just makes me kind of think, what's he know that we don't know? I'm not really copy trading him on leverage, but it definitely an interesting point.
Yeah, no, when you start seeing numbers like that, you know, you got to at least bring it up and understand that, you know, again, it's part of the news flow. But I heard you mention Solana. We got some interesting news on Coinbase and Solana. I don't know who put that on the sheet, but you want to break it down? Because this is actually, I thought, some really interesting just kind of unlock here.
I threw it on the sheet because I know Solana is integrating with Coinbase. Joe, do you know if this is live yet? I haven't checked. Yeah. I know Solana's doing the Breakpoint meeting right now. So is this where they announced it?
I believe it's live, at least on Coinbase's end, because what I've read is that I haven't experienced myself, which I actually should try to do this because I have both, right? Base and Solana, is that you can only buy Solana onto the Base network, but you can't do the opposite. Like you can't bring back those tokens back into the Solana network. I'm going to look into it, but it's great for the ecosystem overall. So I love this information.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's great news for Coinbase. It's great news for Solana. And it's just going towards that next movement where we talk about people don't care. Retail people don't care, like, what chain we're on and bridging and swapping. It's a pain in the butt, to be completely honest with you. So as we improve user interfaces, make it easier to trade, at the end of the day, a lot of time we don't think about, like, what stock is on what exchange and things. We just trade the stock, you know, and that's how crypto needs to develop. And it's great to see Coinbase integrating these Solana tokens, because there's a learning curve there to buy some of those Solana tokens. Mm-hmm. And now to integrate it on, like, the number one centralized exchange in the United States, and it's only going to improve, makes me bullish for not only Coinbase, but also Solana.
Yeah, when you say learning curve, it kind of reminds me of all the different tutorials that we have on the Crypto 101 podcast YouTube. I know Joe, I think, had a Phantom wallet one that blew up. Brian, we had you make the... what was the app? The app
Moonshot.
Yeah, I remember. Yeah. I was like, it came out, and you're like, dude, this is how you do it. I was like, get me a tutorial now. That thing popped off. So if there's anything new on Coinbase, I'll look into it. Maybe Brendan needs some new tutorials, but it sounds almost too easy. Maybe there is no tutorial needed. But we have all that stuff educational wise over at the Crypto 101 Podcast YouTube. Speaking of YouTube, we are live. The chat is popping. We have a ton of people here. Utu Beam, I'm probably pronouncing that. Hello, Deb's here. Michael, Deb, always there. CJE, our boy Grant, Palm Beach. Grant's down in Palm Beach, of course he is. Port St. Lucie, Florida. Crypto Low, TiVo, Tampa Bay. Florida's in the house today, boys. Crypto Low says, longtime viewer, listen to all your podcasts like 8 hours straight at work. Love you guys so much. First live. Awesome, Crypto. Thanks for going. Yeah, chat's popping. We appreciate everybody. And if you're new, bottom right, you'll see our little podcast logo there. Click that and subscribe. We would greatly, greatly appreciate it. And give the video a thumbs up because it helps us grow. But access is key. Access is key. And now Coinbase is giving you access to Solana. There's another company some people might know called Vanguard. They're giving you access to the Bitcoin ETFs, as we've covered last year. They didn't, or they won't let you do it. You know, it's just, it's not, you know, it's not an investable asset. Then they flipped, CEO fired, gone. And now it is. Now you can go on your brokerage. Now you can invest in Bitcoin. But Vanguard says, Bitcoin is still a speculative digital, and I quote, toy. And so I say, Vanguard sells toys? What is this, Toys R Us? Is Vanguard's thing is a ship, right? What, are they going to trade that out for Jeffrey the giraffe? Like, what are you doing? Vanguard's selling toys now? Like, Bitcoin's a toy and you're selling Bitcoin. So Vanguard, the steward of capital and the steward of wealth, and they're selling toys? Boys, what do we think here? Like, is it fair to now offer it? So you take the L, you offer it. Now you want to get into the flows, but you're still going to, like, take shots at it? What do we think here?
First off, goated tweet by the Crypto 101 podcast right there. I didn't see this come out today. And whenever I was going over the sheet, I was like looking at this. And again, another like legit laugh out loud by me whenever I saw Vanguard sells toys. I mean, get out of here with this stuff. You know, they open up the books and the floodgates to their customers to buy Bitcoin. And now they're calling it a digital toy. I don't even really have a good take on this other than it kind of makes me mad.
I mean, toys make a ton of... People spend millions and billions on toys, so whatevers.
That's a great point. I just feel like everybody at Vanguard, whoever's, like, making these decisions and making these press, they're just sitting around on a table, and, like, anytime anybody says something, they're like, huh, yeah, huh, it's a toy, huh? It's like, that's just how they all... There's just, well, the people on a table are like, oh, Bitcoin, huh, it's a toy, huh? It's a, put that in the press, huh? Like, what... I just don't know what's going on over at Vanguard. They need to take a page out of the Franklin Templeton. They went laser eyes. They're doing the memes. Like, come on, get with the program.
I mean, their intern who runs their page got obviously body bagged by Crypto 101 Podcast Twitter right now. They need to figure some stuff out.
Unbelievable. The ship is sinking. They're just at this point, I think Toys R Us out of business. Just, you can go get the IP for Jeffrey the giraffe and it could be Vanguard's new logo. Oh, we're having some fun on a Friday, boys. I'll tell you who's not having fun, and that's a professional level transition, is Do Kwon. Do Kwon sentenced to 15 years in prison for $40 billion stablecoin fraud. The famous guy who said 20% APY guaranteed. But Do Kwon, how? He said, don't worry about it. 20% guaranteed. Now he's going to prison. I wasn't a like diehard Do Kwon follower, fan, anything. But any you guys have any thoughts on this? Well-deserved, excited, sad? What are your thoughts for not friend of the program, Do Kwon?
I didn't dive deep into this personally. Thankfully, during that time, I've had friends who got involved, made some money, lost some money. But I say, yeah, if he was doing crime, then good for him getting 15 years.
I got a buddy that got absolutely rinsed on Terra Luna. So, you know, I don't wish ill on anyone, so I'm not going to say it or put it on record. But the prosecutors wanted 40 years. He got 15, and probably for some good reason. I mean, this went on, I don't know if you guys remember, but this is like a multi-year saga that included like a global manhunt where he was like popping up on Twitter in certain interviews. And they were trying to like extradite him back to the United States. And it was like this whole thing. And he almost like was somewhat like trolling
right
the federal prosecutors at the end of the day. So they got him, and he caused a ton of damage, $40 billion worth. It wiped out billions of dollars to retail people, one of my close friends, destabilized major funds, and it caused like a complete triggering cascade credit unwind and put us into pretty much, it was like what lit the spark that lit the bear market of 2022. And back to that bear market of 2022, or like whenever people were like, people call this a bear now, or are we in a bear? I don't know if everybody remembers 2022, but there was like no news. Do you remember that? We were just watching paint dry, I felt like. At least when we wake up today, and we'll go over the bullish news later, and I think there's tons of news coming out every single day that makes me like, my permeable feelings are endorsed by all the great news that is coming out. The bear markets of the past, they were rough. There was just no news. Nobody was talking about it. And then you have stuff like Terra Luna going down. You got the FTX debacle. So just wrapping this all up, he probably deserved it. Don't wish poor on anybody, but he caused a lot of headaches.
Yeah, well, I definitely remember the trolling. And I think, I don't want to speak for our fearless leader, Bryce, but I think it was on a show or the summit or something. I think he just might have even bumped into him, but he's just saying like, you know, just the cockiness of this guy was like unbelievable, like staring down the barrel of what he did. Yeah. Again, we were not the judge. We weren't the jury. We weren't the lawyers, but 15 years for Do Kwon. So maybe we'll catch him on the back end. Maybe him and Billy McFarland can get together in like 20 years and throw some type of crypto festival or something. That could be quite fun. But we'll transition into the Momentum Moneymaker segment. Guys, this is why you love to join in for Brian and Joe. There's so much bullish news on the macro level, but in the Momentum Moneymakers, we have our crypto Navy SEALs in the trenches looking and finding and giving the people winners. So, guys, we're going to go over a bunch of stuff in the Momentum Moneymakers kind of world, specifically stuff that they gave out that were winners in the private group literally the last couple weeks, right? So if you're interested in getting the first alerts, if you're somebody who likes to get educated on this stuff, so you can get educated and make your own financial decisions, because that's what we're not, financial advisors. Just a couple friends talking crypto, but we do try to educate, and part of the education is these first alerts. If you're interested in those, scroll down in the description. I put a link there for some trials, and you can get into the Momentum Moneymakers world. If you're interested in those first alerts, you can take action on stuff like we're going to talk about now. Fellas, again with some winners in the choppy markets. Tell us about it.
Yeah, I can start this one off. Yeah, we saw ICOs not kind of doing a small comeback. You know, a lot of those didn't go well in the past, right? But with all the talk of institutions coming in and the current market, you know, meme coins definitely don't have the momentum, and people are looking for stable or, you know, bets to speculate on. And we did pretty well with Monad off the bat. We did like a 2x on that. We never mentioned that, I don't think, on the live stream. And that was just the first launch on Coinbase's launchpad. And then this one, this token was called WET, which is pretty funny. But the actual company is called Humidify. And this is the first launch on Jupiter's launchpad. Jupiter has a launchpad. But the difference between this one and Monad was Monad was launched at a $2.5 billion valuation with no revenue. but people pumped that up 2x. The Humidify, on the other hand, launched at a $56 million valuation, so multiples less, but they process over 30% of Solana's decentralized, exchange volume. So people saw it as super undervalued. It was selling on a pre-market at already 2x the pre-ICO price. So really interesting story of how this developed, because they offered a lot of the token allocation to the public, but it completely got botted. So then we don't have the tweet up here, unfortunately, but both Jupiter and WET, Humidify came out and said, screw those bots. We're not giving them anything. We're going to quote unquote kind of, they didn't fork the chain, but they relaunched a token, pulled a Ethereum. People don't even know this probably, but Ethereum is an actual fork. And they're like, screw those bots. They're not getting away with anything, and created a completely new token. It was hilarious. And then they did another public sale, which was great because a lot of our community members, they tried to go for the first one. They're like, oh, we couldn't get it. And so the second one had like a 90% success rate where, at least they verified that a lot of bots didn't get it, and 90% of it actually went to actual people trying to get the token. So kudos to those people, because not only did they get a 2x, which was what the pre-market was selling at, but it was actually a 400 to 500% gain from the launch. So that was a good win for our community, just a good win for Jupe and Solana overall. And, it was just a funny story, and it was great.
Oh, that's awesome. WET is for the people, Brian.
I ape into almost all of our calls, and I'm pretty anxious. I'm pretty into it. But whenever they kind of fumbled this initial distribution, I got pretty cool on it. But I know a lot of people, Joe included, and a lot of our community members went after it, and they were really successful with it. I've been trying to, Joe, and this is almost a question for you. I've been trying to, formulate a thesis here. I would have to think that Jupiter and a lot of the market wants this to succeed, because this was their first drop on their launch pad. Like, there has to be a sense of we want WET to continue to grow and do well. And I've been kind of waiting and looking for an entry. I haven't really mapped out my own personal thesis here, but I unfortunately didn't get in on it. But I could see it continuing to show some strength once we kind of trade sideways for a while and look for that next leg up.
Yeah, absolutely.
No, it's great to get a win, and you guys literally have been printing consistent winners. So we're going to continue on with some Momentum Moneymaker stuff. But again, one last time, if you're interested in getting those first alerts so you can take action and get educated, check the links below in the description on YouTube and in the podcast. I'll throw it in there for you guys listening on audio as well. But we got this is the sheet that you guys brought to me, so I'll be your producer for the rest of the way. Just tell me what links you want to pull up, and I'll bring them up for us.
Yeah, we had two more ICOs come up that is happening next week if people want a little bit of alpha. But one got canceled as of this recording, Fogo, which is pretty hyped. Fogo is kind of like the first, I don't know what the picture of that naked guy is, but it's like the first SVM, Solana Virtual Machine. And it's going to be high speed, is meant for finances. And they're raising at a $1 billion valuation, which is not too crazy when Monad was at $2.5 billion. But people are pretty hyped on this. But once again, it got canceled. Literally the time Brian sent me this link, literally when we got on live stream, he's like, yeah, the pre-sale got canceled. So, but we on January 13th, their tokens went public. And so people see this as a bullish news. Meaning that they're not doing a pre-sale. They're just going to focus on airdropping. Airdropping the community has always been, good for the community, and also hopefully for this project, because a lot of people are really excited. I've interviewed a lot of people for our pod too, and one of them has said, yeah, the most, underrated chain that is Fogo. So definitely is someone to watch out. We've actually had that on our pod, Brian. I forgot, 2-3 months ago, right? We had the founder on our pod.
Good dude.
Yeah, so if they are going to do what they say they're going to do, which a lot of people think they can, That's going to be a good one. Another one that, but that one, FOGO was, you had to be outside the US anyway. So another one that people can look into is Octra. We didn't put a link for that one, but if you guys want to take a look at that one's kind of be one of the first launches on a platform called Sonar, which is the platform basically that Coinbase bought. So that's a pretty kind of hyped up ICO too. It's OCTRA. And I would say that's kind of like a wet launch. It could probably do 3 to 4x off the bat. Yeah, there it is right there. But that and that one is available in the US, but only to accredited investors. So that alone is going to cause a little bit of FOMO. So both the platform they're launching on is pretty well vetted, and Octra itself is a privacy chain. That's a privacy narrative, and it's doing some pretty crazy stuff. So once again, they've been around for 4 years, and they're not new to the block. They've raised money before. They raised like $18 million before, and this is their actual first public raise. So that's going to be a good one. And then I'll kick it over to Brian, because we're just seeing a lot of ICO things come up on our radar, TiVo, as where the momentum is now, and you know where we can tell. And most of the last few wins has really been just, you got to move on it. Like 1, 2, 3 days after the launch, get out. You know,
yeah,
we're not talking about long-term holds here. We're talking about momentum plays. And
yeah, and the ICO and the quick plays are not for everybody. But if you're somebody that is interested in that, it's like, that's where you got to be in the momentum money makers. I say it again, is check the links below. If that's something that you're interested in, you like playing in that game and you want to be first to it, you know, go get that trial in the description. But something with Rainbow Wallet there, Brian.
If you're the purchasing manager at a manufacturing plant, you know having a trusted partner makes all the difference. That's why, hands down, you count on Grainger for auto reordering. With on-time restocks, your team will have the cut-resistant gloves they need at the start of their shift. And you can end your day knowing they've got safety well in hand. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Yeah, Rainbow Wallet, I think they completed their ICO just a day ago, if I remember correctly. It wasn't one of our calls, but just another point that this ICO meta is heating up quite a bit. Rainbow is one of the larger wallets out there. So I'm going to, and like Joe said, and you were just talking as well, these ICOs, they can get that initial boom, and then you get that sell-off. And then if these are real working, interesting products to you, you always have an opportunity to maybe catch this on the low. After those people who got their ICO tokens initially distributed, they maybe sell it off. And there's some volatility there. And with like momentum and opportunity, you want to keep your eyes on a lot of these companies doing it. And then there's another one that's called Sports.Fun. Joe, I'm not sure if, have you investigated personally with Sports.Fun? Do you have any experience? It's an interesting platform for sure.
I've experienced it. I just looked at a high level. So no, personally, no.
Yeah, and they just announced a recent ICO as well. I'm trying to bring up some information here, but they just announced an ICO as well, and you essentially buy like fractional shares of players that utilize NFTs. It was just interesting that now they're coming out with this fun token. They're gonna have an ICO. I don't know if I'm gonna personally be participating in it, but I know a lot of people in our space have been watching Legion and the Sports.Fun ICO pretty closely.
I think this one you put on there, Brian, is because it's one of the first ones on Base. Like, this is on Base, Sports Fund's on Base, and then Base. Like, every chain promotes their own kind of launch pad, and Base doesn't really have a launch pad, even though they do, kind of with Coinbase. So this is probably going to be hyped because of that.
I mean, ICO season's here. I don't know.
ICO
I don't know
season.
How to put it. It's ICO season, according to my transfer warriors. I don't know how else to phrase it. And it was I see Wrecked. I mean, we can't have Joe on the podcast and not talked about Wrecked. So let's move on to our memes and NFT news. We got some Wrecked, and then Beeple is in the news, which is always fun. But Joe, let's start with Wrecked, and then we'll go. Let's go Wrecked, Beeple, and then the Trump mobile game.
Oh yeah, I threw in a Trump there because I was like, man, we haven't had Trump news for a while. But yeah, we could start off with Wrecked for sure.
Did someone say Wrecked?
Yeah, Wrecked did a 40. We actually told our community to look into Wrecked at this particular point. I don't know how they timed it, Brian. They must have heard us, because right after our call, we're like, hey, we really like Wrecked right here. they made two big announcements, which was one, they teamed up with Aspen X Games, the Winter Games, as a partnership. And that's just one thing. Another thing they did is kind of confusing. They teamed up with another partnership called Aspen Digital, which is an Abu Dhabi kind of like wealth fund, but they're vetted. They have compliance to help early stage tech startups find funding. A different Aspen, not Aspen the X Games, but Aspen Digital. I don't know how they came with the same name. They're like in a completely different continents. And they're just really doing a lot of work on the Web2 and the Web and TradFi side of the world. They're bringing in finances and different aspects. Exactly what you need to level up from where they are, which is, you know, mass distribution, mass marketing. They're trying to be like the next Red Bulls, potentially Coke. And a lot of people think they would be joking, but with these partnerships and an injection of cash, they can probably crush their goals. So at the current valuation that they're at right now, it's pretty like, you know, I wouldn't say standard, but like they can definitely reach back up to the all-time highs, and not as a meme coin, but as an actual company. So they kind of evolved from a meme coin into like a full-fledged little beverage company now that's thrown their first golf tournament. Brian, you're not flexing the golf. Did you get the merch yet in the mail?
No, I haven't. I forgot about that. I bought a wrecked hat and a wrecked golf polo from Manners. I mean, I'll be repping it hard. Whenever I have it, I'll be repping it hard. I'm a big fan of Wrecked, and right around before these announcements, I bought some Wrecked as well, topped it off because it was getting rinsed, and I was like, I like this token too much, the brand they're building. I have more Wrecked drinks than anybody could imagine, cases of it behind me, to the point where we have a pretty large family, and we have some people that live close to us, and we're having everyone come over for Christmas. I literally looked at my wife and I was like with all these cases of Wrecked drinks, if that's the Great Moon Pay, if that's Abstract Apple, if that's OpenSea Lime, whatever you want, the McNutt household has it. And I looked at her, I was like, hey, we should just put a ton of these drinks out for everyone for Christmas. Like, you know, like forget like buying like anything else. I could hydrate the family for 2 years. So I'm going to be a buyer of the grapefruit drink. Not financial advice, but big fan of the X Games, like Wrecked, and I think the grapefruit flavor might be fire.
Yeah, so you could click on that link. They're launching a grapefruit flavor for the X Games, and that some people are like, oh, that's going to be the best flavored Wrecked out there. But I'm going to steal a quote from Brian, and Brian, he always tells me this offline, is that Wrecked and some meme coins, which I don't think we can even call meme coins, has done more activations and done more than any other altcoin out there. And that's true. Like, you can't even look at this as a meme. Like, they have done, we wish some of the altcoins can have partnerships like this, right? This is amazing.
Yeah, not every altcoin, but you're exactly right, Joe, that Wrecked and Pengu, they get hit hard because they're risk on assets. We all get it. We talk about it every time we're on the rundown. But what they're building, the partnerships that they're doing, they have done 10 times more than like 75% of some of these altcoins that are trading at sure. much higher market caps. Not to say I own a lot of those and I like them and I like the thesis, but these are real companies that are integrating not only in Web3, but in the Web2 world, doing some really cool stuff. Giant Eagle for all my Pittsburgh people out there. I grew up in Pittsburgh. It's like, that's where we went, man, was Giant Eagle. And they got a partnership deal with Wreck. So they're going to be on the store. So I was telling, you know, my mom, like, hey, make sure you get your Wreck drink. And she, like, sent me a question mark. Do I really need to buy this? So I was like, no, mom, don't buy it. But it'll be, I got more than enough to supply you for life. But they're doing big things. And I'm a big fan of everything that they're doing and the founder, Ovi, that's behind it.
And I think it's a great comparison of like Red Bull. It's like, yeah, Red Bull is the drink, but at least from their branding perspective and social media perspective, it's like everybody knows it's these crazy action sports skydivers and, you know, mountain bikers and motorcycle guys and surfers. Like, I think like 80-90% of the content around Red Bull doesn't even have the energy drink in it. So it's like it's evolved. Red Bull's evolved into its own brand around the drink. And so, you know, Wrecked is seems to be kind of taking that approach as well in its own unique way in the, you know, Web3 space, which is really interesting.
And what a good name too. And you don't want to get wrecked. You don't want to wreck when you're snowboarding, but it just goes hand in hand with kind of the X Games. And then on the crypto side of things, you get wrecked, you know, you get wiped out, you get wrecked. It's, I don't know. I think it's a great name. I think they're doing some big partnerships. So, you know, that's enough on my soapbox about how great Wrecked is.
Yeah, I mean, you guys love it. You're very passionate about it. I have yet to buy myself a Wrecked drink, but I do love the cans. We saw them in person that one time at the CWC, and you know, definitely a fan of the brand. You guys are just diehard Wrecked people. But let's see, what do we got? Beeple back in the news. Did you see these dogs? These were pretty wild. I mean, it doesn't do justice, the cell phone video that I'm about to pull up. I saw these on, like, I just got the 75-inch plasma hooked up on the wall the other week, and these Beeple dog animals came up. And, yeah, 75 inches, it was quite intimidating, honestly. These things are a little scary.
I met Beeple once when I worked for DraftKings. I was at the V-Friends The V Friends show, that's right. And I met him because we were doing a talk and I was in the back room. He was there. And what an interesting individual. And he's kind of like exactly what you would think he's like. But I saw these trending at Art Basel. And what the heck are they at the end of the day? But then when you dig a little bit deeper, they were like the talk of the show. I mean, TiVo, you were there, so you saw him. I mean, was there a buzz about him?
Listen, when I'm down in Miami, I have my ear to the streets. Everybody knows this. And the only thing that was being talked about was Beeple. It was Beeple and Pudgy Penguin, to be honest. A little Pengu action. And this one, just as you said, it stole the show. You know, obviously you have a lot of the tech leaders there, some politicians and all that stuff. And I know, so if you bought one of these, it's like you get the physical thing, and then it comes with like an NFT, you know, an NFT with it, you know, the virtual NFT too. Yeah, Beeple stole the show. I mean, the guy's the GOAT for a reason, right?
Yeah, and those NFTs aren't doing too shabby. I know you can get them if you bought them. I think he was giving a few away, and I think they're right around 20 grand now, but they got up to, yeah, Tyler says 35 grand. I think they were 50 grand at one point, but NFTs are, I'm still a big fan of where NFTs and the technology goes, but we don't see a ton of like runners, especially when they're like tens of thousands of dollars. But Beeple is one of the best digital artists of all time. If you're going to make a Mount Rushmore of digital artists, he would have to be in the discussion to be on there. And people are buying these. They were aping in.
Yeah, it's always something to watch when he drops. I always love when he does a little bit of both. It's like, okay, here's the virtual, here's the physical. I think it's a cool little tandem. Joe, you're excited to talk about Trump again. Trump coined the Trump Billionaires Club here. The biggest and the best mobile and web game has finally arrived.
No, I'm just excited. I just get a giggle whenever Trump does, like, you know, NFT meme coin stuff. And he's been quiet for a while, but then I sent it to Brian. I'm like, he has a mobile game coming out with $1 million in Trump being given out. And also he's giving out NFTs also. So I'm sure if it's a shout out, it's more of a, like, you know, what do you guys think? This is kind of funny. And that he's still kind of kicking there, his little Web3 company.
I love it. We're gonna do some prediction markets next. I'll tell you this, on this page we're sharing here on the right side, there's a gentleman, looks a little like Do Kwon. Maybe I'd jump over the prediction markets and go for a Do Kwon pardon for a penny, maybe try and get my money back from the L's I took with Jerome Powell not saying quantitative easing this past week. So maybe a little nugget there for some pardon betting when it comes to prediction markets. But a lot of prediction market news. I credit to us, we've been covering this stuff literally. I just remember when Bryce and I went to Consensus a couple years back in Austin, and we made a point to go listen to Shane speak at Consensus, the creator CEO of Polymarket, who just did a 60 Minutes expose and is now like one of the youngest billionaires ever. And there, don't get me wrong, there were people at his speech. It was well attended, but it wasn't. If he did that today, it would have been standing room only, right? Standing room only all the way to the back. And you know, this is a couple years ago, and there were people there, and it was a big forum. But plenty of seats. And Bryce and I made a point. We're like, we want to listen to this guy speak. Like we think this is, you know, obviously something that we've been following and have continued, and it's blown up. But there just continues to be news. So let's talk about what we got. MetaMask coming in.
Yeah, they're integrating with Polymarket. So not surprising, but there might already like a tab to get into the prediction markets through MetaMask. Myriad, we've talked about quite a bit. They're another prediction market. They integrated with the Trust Wallet. So we're seeing just major partnerships and major integrations. What's so interesting, you can bring up the next tab there, TiVo, and Joe can touch a lot on this because I know he knows, but Polymarket flipped visits in comparison, and you can see Robinhood, Coinbase, and Polymarket flipped DraftKings and FanDuel. And I love me some DraftKings. I worked for them. Good people out there. And they acquire Railbird prediction markets, but you got to believe they're kind of sweating in their boots a little bit. We've talked about that from day one.
I was just going to say the whole like marketing behind gambling with your friends is like, you know, let's get a good sweat in. Let's place a bet. Let's sweat it out. These guys have to be sweating right now. Obviously, there's a huge, base of people that they have the apps and they have the data and this and that. But when you look at what Robinhood's doing, it's on our sheet. The link is an ad, so I'm not going to bring it up. But now you're like Coinbase is going to start doing prediction markets. Obviously, they're going to announce stock trading coming up. I think it's December 17th. Coinbase has some like big day. It's going to be live. They're going to announce all this. You know, I think they have a couple things up their sleeves maybe that they haven't announced. But everybody's basically waiting for stock trading on Coinbase, prediction markets on Coinbase. And you can see there Robinhood, Coinbase, Polymarket, then DraftKings, then FanDuel. I don't know, man. I don't know. I don't want to predict, pun intended, anything for DraftKings or FanDuel. But as soon as Robinhood rolled out the prediction markets, and it was a light rollout, but I started seeing that you could get better lines than what I was getting on like a FanDuel, DraftKings, or like in Florida, you can only use Hard Rock Bet. So it's like I don't necessarily. There's one commercial out there. It's like, do you want your not financial advisor. Do you want your brokerage? This is what it was. The quote was, do you want your brokerage to be your bookie? And I was like, that's a good line. That's a good line because in theory, I don't want my brokerage to be my bookie. But if you're going to shave me a little bit of points and I can get a better deal, I mean, I'm going to use it. I'm going to use it. So, you know, I just think that Robinhood, Coinbase is really, really primed here, along with Polymarket, Kalshia. I've said this multiple times. It feels kind of like the early days of, and Brian, you know this while working at DraftKings. I was over at Barstool with the Penn thing. There was just everybody and their mother had a gambling app. And then slowly ones went away. They got acquired. They folded in. And now everybody has a prediction markets app. So I think that's going to eventually go down that path too, and you're going to have, you know, the Kalshi and the Polymarket, you know, two, three, whatever winners. But it's interesting with Robinhood trying to grab it, Coinbase trying to grab it. I mean, hell, Vanguard's going to have prediction markets in probably a year, right? You know, once they get rid of the ship and put in Jeffrey the Giraffe, give them another toy at this point. give them another toy. So it's never ending, really. And it is fun, but it's also informative.
Yeah, it's like the new way of polling, because who knows how people even get their polling data from. But I just interviewed, you know, one of the founders of Pith, and shout out to Pith. They said market data is around 50 billion, and they're kind of creating like a blue ocean of new market data. I wouldn't say polling, but like people putting their money where their mouth is. And that's like another revenue source for Polymarket, not just predicting, but providing this data with the integrations that they've seen is just going to be, you know, really it's going to be big. A lot of people are going to be utilizing that data to kind of create financial models around. So I see this as a huge thing, not just for in the short term, but like we said earlier, like all the momentum has shifted from meme coins to prediction markets, and rightfully so. And it's only like inning one. You guys use baseball terms a lot. It's the start.
Hell yeah. And then friend of the show, sponsor of the show, as we always like to thank them. Gemini got approved to start offering this stuff too, and their stock got a nice little bounce. So it just seems to be a tool in the toolbox that everybody's adding.
Yeah, I actually wrote in one of our forums with our Momentum Moneymakers people, like this bull case for Gemini stock. And I it's trading, I think, I'm trying to remember the details, I think 1/60th of Coinbase. And some people in the community made some great points, like Coinbase holds custody for a lot of these ETFs. And I'm not saying that Gemini's going to flip the Coinbases of the world, but they have all the major ability to lean into some of these like retail aspects with these prediction markets and stock trading and tokenization and the crypto side of things. I'm, again, I don't own any Gemini stock. I have their credit card, but I have like a gut feeling here that they could do very well. Not always my wheelhouse, the stock game, but I feel like they could run the Robinhood playbook a little.
I was just about to say, there's some people forget, some people don't. There was a call on this very show about $9 a share for Robinhood. It was basically what you were saying. I was just like, guys, you're not even seeing, like, everybody's like, that's degenerates and they're gamblers and it's toys. And I was like, guys, you're not seeing this. Like, we had Johan Kerbot on, and I was like, this is not priced into the stock at all at $9 a share. And I think today it's at Friday, so we're not going to get the calculators out, but you know, something like it's pretty good. I mean, hell, all you got to do is listen to Crypto 101 and we'll give it to you on a silver platter. Fellas, that's going to wrap us up today as we approach the 54th minute. I really appreciate you two joining us. It was super fun. Approaching the back half of the year, going to try and get out as much content as we can. Obviously, we will be taking a break at the end of the year to spend some time with our families, but we'll get you some rundowns before we leave. I'll check everybody's schedules. Maybe we could do like a year in review NFT Trenches show maybe in the next week, and we could put that out like New Year's week or something while we're off. But we'll have content backloaded for you. We just really appreciate all the listens and the downloads and all that stuff. We can't say it enough. We appreciate everybody listening. But that's gonna be all of us for today, folks. We really appreciate you listening. I hope everybody enjoys their weekend. We're gonna be back next week with some rundowns, and then I'll give you a full lineup of what we cook up for the holiday break to make sure that you're still entertained and also educated. Guys, this is TiVo for the Crypto 101 podcast. Thank you all for listening. Enjoy your weekend, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye, everybody.
If you're an HVAC technician and a call comes in, Grainger knows that you need a partner that helps you find the right product fast and hassle-free. And you know that when the first problem of the day is a clanking blower motor, there's no need to break a sweat. With Grainger's easy-to-use website and product details, you're confident you'll soon have everything humming right along. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.